1 Peter 2:24, "And he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed." 1 Peter 2:24. Galatians 1:4, "The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." Galatians 1:4. And will you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. We'll begin our reading in a few moments with verse 1. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How fantastic that passage is, because it reveals to us very vividly that we can admit our faults, our failures, our sins, and upon the authority of the Word of God, we can know that we're cleansed. That simply means that then we are filled with the Spirit and we're prepared to properly receive the dissemination of the Word of God. In the light of that great scripture, may we pray together, please. Father, we are grateful that you love us so much, that you are willing to send your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down to this earth and go to the cross to bear our sins. We're the recipients of your grace and salvation, grace by which to live each day, and the grace that one day will take us to our eternal home. And so we bow to express our thanks today for the fact that you do care for us, and you promise us in your word that you would never leave us, never forsake us, that you would be with us all the way, even unto the end of the world. No matter what we face in life, the difficulties, the burdens, the trials, the tests, the successes of life, whatever it is, we realize that you promised that you'd be right there with us, and we thank you for it. We ask that you'll be with us in these moments of study as we come to this wonderful book of Daniel once again, and we realize that you have a message for us. We pray that we will be always anxious to receive what you have for us. We pray and thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. When I was reviewing a few moments ago to see which verses I should read to you, I just felt it. I should just read the whole entire chapter. But I'm not going to do that, even though this is such a fantastic chapter. Let's begin with verse 1. "Now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king gave orders to call in the magicians, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, to tell the king's dreams. So they came in and stood before the king, and the king said to them, 'I had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to understand the dream.' Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, 'O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants, and we will declare the interpretation.' Then the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, 'The command for me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be made a rubbish heap.'" I don't know about you, but being torn from limb to limb doesn't sound too good. All right, let's read on. Verse 6, "But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive me from me gifts and a reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream of its and its interpretation." They answered a second time, said, "Let the king tell the dream to his servants. We will declare the interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know for certain that you're bargaining for time, inasmuch as you have seen that the command from me is firm. that if you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one decree to you. You have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation. Now, he changes the tune a little bit. His tune is, now, I'm not going to only ask you to interpret the dream, I'm going to ask you now to tell me what the dream is. Do y'all see that? All right. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there's not a man on the earth who could declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conqueror, or Chaldean. Verse 11. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult. There is no one else who could declare it to the king except gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. Because of this, the king became indignant, very furious, and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth that his wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. And now notice, then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch. Arioch, of course, is the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's commander, for what reason is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in, notice now, requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Now notice verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. Are you following? Are you able to see what's going on? So that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then, verse 19, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now, I know that you're wanting to read on, but please stop your reading and let's pay attention. How about that? Nebuchadnezzar, the dreamer. Nebuchadnezzar, the dreamer. This wonderful book of Daniel reveals very vividly that God is faithful to advance prepared believers. I would encourage you to somehow either remember this or write it so that you can view it often. This wonderful book of Daniel reveals very vividly that God is always faithful to advance prepared believers. Let me say it again, the third time. God is always faithful to advance prepared believers. We see here four young men who were truly oriented to God and the plan of God for their lives. Because of growing up, understanding God's truth, they were able to be away from their parents. They were able to be away from their friends and other loved ones, and even from their very own homeland, and maintain inner peace and happiness in the midst of persecutions, in the midst of tremendous pressure. Let me just let you see what is being said. These guys, four of them, away from their parents, away from their friends in captivity, away from other loved ones, even from their own very own homeland, but at the same time, they're maintaining internal peace, joy, and happiness, even though they find themselves under persecution and tremendous pressure. Daniel and his three friends were among the hostages taken to Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Chaldean Empire, besieged Jerusalem in 606 B.C. I trust by now that you have received enough information that you're able to see what is being said here. God's truth in the soul always pays off handsomely. God's truth in the soul always pays off handsomely and keeps stability in the midst of terrific brainwashing attempts. We've said this over and over in the previous session and now in this one. We're seeing that there is a desire for brainwashing. But we're seeing that even in the midst of this brainwashing attempt, these individuals are staying true to God and God's Word. These four took a firm stand on the Word of God and prospered even in captivity. I pause to remind us today that God can bless us even in the midst of great difficulty, burdens, heartaches, trials, death. Many of you have gone through various experiences in life and you've been able to see, even though the road was not smooth, a rough road, you were able to see that God was putting things together for His honor and glory and for your good and mine. God's truth in the soul always pays off handsomely and keeps stability in the most terrific brainwashing attempts. Notice, if you will, these four took a firm stand on the Word of God and they prospered in the midst of captivity. Please note that everything God wants to communicate to us as believers in this wonderful age of grace is found in this great book, the Bible. It's always amazing to me when I think in terms of God's plan for the ages. When I see how God moves in the age of the Gentiles. When I see how God moves in the age of Israel. And I see people prospering and going up and then disobeying and going down. Up and down. And that's the way it has been through the years. And we see that there came a point of time in the age of Israel when there was a rejection of God's plan in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that age of Israel was cut short by 7 years. The Bible is a completed canon of Scripture. However, we must also be aware of the fact that in the Old Testament times, God revealed His will and His plan in various ways. Have you ever thought about how God revealed His will and plan in the Old Testament? Let me just quickly tell you a few things. Let us view how magnificently this was done. You may want to write this down in abbreviated form. There were times when God revealed Himself in what we call the written word, as it then existed. I will not be able to take the time today to go into the reading of all these verses, but I would encourage you, if you can see where you're sitting, these verses, write them down so you can see that God revealed Himself in the Old Testament times in various ways. He revealed Himself, number one, by the written word. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, as it did then existed. The second thing He gave His wonderful plan and design in the spoken word. And I had it marked for me to go to this passage, Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, but I will not take the time. Please put it down. Let us review how magnificently God revealed Himself in the Old Testament times. Written word, Daniel 9, 2. Spoken word, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And then we discover that God revealed Himself through dreams. Not only do we find that here in the passage we're studying in Daniel chapter 2, but we see it in Genesis chapter 20, verses 3 through 7. We see it in chapter 31 of the book of Genesis, verses 10, 11, 12, 13, and 24. We see that God revealed Himself through dreams in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 6. And now, of course, in our passage, Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. Could I review? How does God reveal Himself in the Old Testament? By the written word, as it existed at that time. The spoken word, Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. Through dreams, Genesis 20, 3 through 7. Genesis 31, 10 through 13 and verse 24. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, and then our passage, Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. How did God reveal Himself in the Old Testament? Number 4, by way of visions in 1 Kings 22, 19. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. Chapter 8, verse 1. I'm trying to tell you that there are many passages. These are just a few. God revealed himself beautifully in the Old Testament by way of visions. Number one, by way of the written word. Number two, the spoken word. Number three, through dreams. Number four, through visions. Number five, through angelic teaching. This is found in many different passages of Scripture, like Deuteronomy 33, verse 2, if you want to take that one down. Psalm 68, verse 17. Acts chapter 7, verse 53. And Galatians 3, verse 19. I'm aware of the fact that I'm moving quite rapidly, but let me tell you again, there are various ways that God revealed himself in the Old Testament. Here, number 5 is through angelic teaching. Deuteronomy 33, verse 2, Psalm 68, 17, Acts 7, 53, and Galatians 3, 19. In our study today, we find that revelation came to Nebuchadnezzar through a dream or dreams. And the content became very disturbing to him. In other words, when you go to the original text, you will discover that the scripture is translated, his life was troubled, which means that his mind was in great turmoil and not characterized by peace and security. Please notice again, and I want to remind you of what is being said here. We find that revelation came to Nebuchadnezzar through a dream or dreams, and the content became very disturbing to him. In the original text, it says his life was troubled, which means that his mind was in great turmoil, and he was not characterized by peace and security. When I came to this point in preparation for this message, I had to write myself a note so that I could remind you to read the note. This shows us that Nebuchadnezzar's position of greatness, his prestige, his personal abilities did not actually bring him peace of heart, mind, and soul. Let me ask you to think about that with me. Nebuchadnezzar had a position of greatness, a position of prestige, a position of personal abilities, and all of this did not bring to him peace of his heart and mind and soul. What is it that brings to us peace of heart, mind, and soul? It is knowledge of the truth of the Word of God in the soul of the believer that is always going to give us joy and peace and stability in every situation of life. Do you see what I'm saying? Are our situations of life all pleasant? Of course not. Are we continually riding the road of a bed of roses? Everything is lovely. Everything is wonderful. Of course not. But what is it that gives us joy and peace and stability in every situation of life? It is God and God's plan for our lives. All right, now let's go to Daniel chapter 2 and verse 2. I read, what do I find here? Then the king gave orders to call in the magicians, the conquerors, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, to tell the king his dreams. So they came in, and they stood before the king. Well, I had fun doing this, so let me share my fun with you. In Daniel chapter 2. It reveals that the king commanded magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and Chaldeans to stand up before him to reveal the meaning of his dreams. Now, can you see how much fun I had when I came to this point? You'll have to see it by what I'm doing now. I put question mark. What a group. And then I thought about it for a few moments and I said to myself, self, that's not the way to put that. It's not a question. I should put an exclamation mark. What a group! Do you see the difference? No, well, I have fun doing it anyway. That's okay. I know that a lot of times you don't have as much fun as I do, but let's just realize, let's briefly see what type of individuals we have here. Well, I notice, first of all, it says magicians. Well, who are the magicians? These were the scribes who wrote in hieroglyphics, recording and filing the secrets of the Chaldean religion. Now, I know that you really wanted to know that, so I decided I'd give it to you. Magicians. These were the scribes who wrote in hieroglyphics, recording and filing the secrets of the Chaldean religion, as well as the laws and the contracts and so forth. We could call these individuals part of the administrative legal department. They were administrative legal department leaders. Well, the second group that we have listed here, astrologers. Well, who are the astrologers? The answer to that is men highly trained in science. These are individuals highly trained in mathematics and astrology. Their skills were used as a cover for predicting the actions of other nations. Actually, these folk were engaged in espionage and functioned as an intelligence agency. I knew that you would want all this, so let's go to the next one. Sorcerers. These were individuals who knew how to properly handle people. It's wonderful to be able to know how to handle people. And so I'm discovering something. We would call them skilled in public relations, especially to know how to entertain distinguished visitors from other countries. Now, if you're following along, you're seeing the different types of individuals. The next group, number four, Chaldeans. These kept Babylonians under control and were powerful with the governmental hierarchy. Well, the next group was soothsayers. These are mentioned in Daniel chapter 2, verse 27, as men who were the pagan counterpart of the biblical prophets. And they were energized by evil, an evil spirit. Perhaps we need to realize today that there are people who are under the influence of satanic spirit. So let's just remind ourselves that these individuals were energized by evil spirits. If these people got the information relative to the king's dreams, they would not only hesitate to take that information, but they would fabricate the interpretation. They would take the information that they're giving, and they would make up all kinds of different conclusions about that situation. And that's found in verse 4 of Daniel chapter 2. Here we see then how sharp King Nebuchadnezzar really is. His advisors were brilliant and clever, but he is wiser than all of them. They could not interpret what they did not know, though claiming to know. He knew what they did not know. Now, you're going to have to really be sharp to listen to what I have to say there. You cannot talk about that which you do not know. So they could not interpret what they did not know, though claiming to know. There are people who claim to know, but they don't know. And some people who don't know think they know what they're claiming to know. Did you get that? All right. He knew, Nebuchadnezzar knew, that they did not know, though they claimed to know. And Nebuchadnezzar knew that they did not know what they claimed to know. I'm having too much fun with this. I better go on. Daniel chapter 2, verse 5. Let me read it to you. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The command from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you're going to be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be made a rubbish heap." Now, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 5, I just read it to you. We see a great man becoming ruthless because he is plagued with fear and worry. He now not only refused to reveal the dream, but demanded that they both, the dream and the meaning, to be presented, or they would be cut in pieces. Now, when I came to this point, I had such fun, I said, hacked up bodies. Now, I don't know what you're thinking about that, but let me tell you something. That's not a very pleasant thought, to have your body all hacked up, and their houses destroyed, their wives destroyed, the children and the servants destroyed, and their bodies would not even be buried. The whole situation becomes more serious. Now read Daniel 2, 6 and following with me. Are you looking at your Bible? But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts and reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell the dream to his servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king answered verse 8 and said, I know for certain that you're bargaining for time, inasmuch as you have seen that the command from me is firm. That if you do not make the dream known to me, there's only one decree for you. For you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation. Now let's go on, because I said there, read through verse 13. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there's not a man on the earth who could declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician or Chaldean in the past. No, moreover, verse 11, the thing which the king demands is difficult. There's no one else who could declare it to the king except gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. And then look at verses 12 and 13. Because of this, the king became indignant, furious, gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Verse 13, so the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. Now, I'm sure that all of us are around the edge of the seat because we're listening. And verse 14 says, Daniel replied with discretion. And Daniel replied with discernment to Arioch. Arioch, of course, as we all know, is the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, king, commander, the king's commander, what reason is the decree so urgent? Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house, informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter. I underline and highlighted verse 18 in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. You ought to highlight that. You ought to underline it in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Since early childhood, Daniel, a true believer, knowing God's word and making application of truth, now realizes that what he has in his soul is more important than the situation, the crisis in which he finds himself. So he says to himself, and I'm just going to put it in my words, he said to himself, this is no time to punch any panic buttons. The reason why I want to say it that way is because I want us to make application. We all understand that we can punch panic buttons when things go difficult for us. And so we discover then that since a person punching panic buttons cannot think, Daniel knows to keep his cool. And I'm going to give you time to take a few seconds to realize what is being said here. Have you ever come to a point in your life when you face a difficult situation and you literally, in essence, punch some panic buttons? And you realize that it really didn't do any good. It more confused the situation. Daniel knows how here, because of what he had in his soul, to keep his cool. He's looking from a vertical viewpoint. He's looking down upon the situation as God sees it, with faith, with trust, and with confidence. Oh, I cannot tell you how great this is. The only thing I know to do is to tell you how great the Bible presents it. Verse 15. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's commander, "For what reason is this decree so urgent?" Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested the king that he would give him time. I repeat this reading that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house, verse 17, informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, about the matter. Verse 18, I ask you to underline this in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed and the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Notice now, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. When God gives the answer, do we thank him? I want you to know that some of the greatest people on this earth are people who are thankful. You and I must realize we need to be thankful. Daniel answered and said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. And it is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To thee, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and I give praise, for thou hast given me wisdom and power. Even now thou hast made known to me what we requested of thee, for thou hast made known to us the king's matter." In verses 24 and 25, we see Arioch, probably the number three man in the Chaldean Empire, who had authority over millions of people, is now trying to grab glory as he brings Daniel before the king. And he says, "Look to me, O king, I found a man." When you look at verses 26 through 28, we have some amazing verses indeed. The king answered and said, verse 26, "Whose name was Belshazzar? Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Verse 27, Daniel answered before the king and said, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conquerors, magicians, diviners are able to declare it to the king." And then I underlined and highlighted verse 28. "However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he's made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." Now that stirs your enthusiasm for reading, and I would encourage you to do that in coming days. Because the rest of this passage of Scripture is amazing indeed. Because all the things that you're going to see here reveals the fact that God knows what he's doing. He puts together things in a magnificent way. And we thank God for the way he puts things together. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we are aware of the fact that we're at a point where we are seeing so many things. And we appreciate the things we are able to see, as we see the hand of God moving upon the life of an individual who's determined to put God first in his life. Help us to understand here today as we close this service that there's not anything more important than for each one of us to let God, the God of heaven, be preeminent in our lives. And the Lord Jesus Christ be the primary person we love and appreciate, look forward to seeing one of these days when we are taken home either by physical death or by means of the rapture. We realize that one day we're going to be gone from this earth and we're going to be in the presence of our Savior throughout eternity. Not because of us, not because of our goodness, but because of what God has done for us through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We pray that there will be those who are hearing this message now who have yet not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, that they'll do it right now, because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. So strong.